Therefore, Daniel resolved with all that was within him not to be defiled. Let me go back and break this down for you. The word heart, that when you see that word heart in the Bible, it means more than just that thing in your chest that goes thump, 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 thump. It's talking about more than that. That when you see the word heart in the Bible, especially in the context that is used in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, it said this became a rich term meaning for the totality of all that was within a person.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve.
Daniel chapter 1. And in the book of Daniel, while the ushers are passing out the notes, I'll give you a little background. The Babylonians came into the city of Jerusalem about 586 BC. And as they came into the city of Jerusalem, they destroyed the city. There was a wall that was around the city. The Babylonians knocked the wall down. They went in and burned the temple. And they looked for those in Israel who were young and vibrant and able to conform to the Babylonian standards so that they might transfer them into their way of thinking. And there were three individuals that were deported to Babylon from Jerusalem. One was Shadrach, Meshach, or the three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then there was another one, and his name was Daniel. And so here were these four Hebrew youth in Babylon. And what they tried to do was conform these individuals to the Babylonian culture. They wanted them to worship the Babylonian gods, and the Babylonians were polytheistic. They worshiped many gods. They changed their names, and they changed their Hebrew name to Babylonian names, and all their Babylonian names represented some type of false deity. And then the other thing that they wanted these youth to do was to eat the food from the king's table. And that's where we pick up this passage in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says here, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, actually, this is a message that I was going to preach last week, but the Lord interrupted my preaching schedule and put something else on my heart. So the message that I was going to preach last week is the message that I will preach this morning. And the title of the message that we want to share with you today is New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve. You know, where are you at? Do you make New Year's resolutions or do you make life-changing resolves? And as we look at Daniel, we see that Daniel went beyond just a once-a-year resolution, but his resolve was at the very core of his heart. That his resolve was at the very nature of who he was. And he understood who he was, he understood what he stood for, and there was nothing that was going to change him one way or another. When and once again, I know that we're on a different calendar, but when January 1st came around for Daniel, he wasn't about making New Year's resolutions because he already had resolve in his heart. And the resolve that he had in his heart had rooted him and grounded him in the basic principles of God. And so he didn't need to make a resolution because he was already rooted and grounded in God doing those things that God had called him to do. New Year's resolution or life-changing resolve. Now, the message that I want to share this morning is going to be kind of unique, and you'll see what I'm saying here in a second. But if you'll look at the notes that were passed out, we already gave you the context of the passage in the introduction. Now, what does this word purpose mean? It says in verse 8, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. This word portion, according to Wilson's Old Testament word studies, the word purpose can also be translated to settle or to resolve. All right. According to Webster's dictionary, the word resolve means to reach a firm decision. Therefore, Daniel made a firm decision which changed the way he lived. A part of that decision was that he would not eat the king's meat or drink his wine. Daniel purposed in his mind. Daniel resolved in his heart that he was not going to deal with the dainties of the king's table. And as we consider that this year, and one of the things that I wanted to bring out is that this resolve was at the very heart of Daniel. Look at the first point in your outline today, the place of the resolve. The place of the resolve. Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. Now, the theological word book of the Old Testament says the word heart, and I like this right here. It became the richest biblical term for the totality of man's inner or immaterial nature. Therefore, Daniel resolved with all that was within him not to be defiled. Let me go back and break this down for you. The word heart, that when you see that word heart in the Bible, it means more than just that thing in your chest that goes thump, 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 thump. It's talking about more than that. That when you see the word heart in the Bible, especially in the context that is used in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, it said this became a rich term meaning for the totality of all that was within a person. And you know, when you think about all that's within you, just think about what's in you. Your mind, your emotions, your will. You know, those are all things that are internally knitted within you. Your mind, what you think. Your emotions, what you feel. Your will, what you will do. The scripture says that Daniel purposed. He determined with everything that was within him that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. And I want to say that. See, here once again is why he didn't need to make a resolution. He didn't need to make a New Year's resolution because he had resolved in his heart what his life was going to be like. And would to God that we had some people that will resolve in their heart their identity in God, and they will not let anything change them to the left or to the right. Now, you know, I realize that sometimes that as I preach, some people, well, you know, Pastor, you're talking about these men in the Bible, man. You know, these guys are out of your reach for me. You know, these are individuals that God had touched and God had ordained. Man, you putting a bar up there. You putting a standard up there. How in the world? I'm just a mere human being living in the year 2005. How in the world can I keep that standard? How in the world can I keep that pace? Well, you see, you need to realize that if one person can do it, then God will give you the strength to be able to do it. And the fact of the matter is, even if you're not perfect, let me say this now, that even if you're not perfect, at least you should be striving for perfection. That should be your goal every day, to be perfect. Let me tell you, let me brag a little bit, just a little bit. Spiritual brag. Every day this week, the first thing I get up, I've been reading my chapters in the Bible. Every day. But you know what? Stayed up late last night. Some of y'all know why I stayed up late. I'm not going to tell you. Stayed up late last night. Got up this morning and wanted to get into meditating on my sermon. And you know what? Didn't read my scriptures for the day. So what does that tell me? Sometimes you can't be, man. I was bragging to somebody at the gym yesterday. I said, you know what? I said, I'm 7 for 7. I said, I'm 7 for 7. As soon as I get up, 7 for 7, spending time with God. Didn't do it this morning. But what does that tell you? You know, sometime today, I'm resolved. I'm resolved in my heart that today I'm going to do this thing. And even though I slipped, and even though I failed, even though I didn't do it on the plan that I said I wanted to do first thing when I got up, yet and still, if you got a resolve in your heart, you're going to find a way. You might not be perfect, but all my brothers and sisters, you should be aiming for perfection. Daniel resolved with everything that was within him that he was not going to be defiled. Now, I said it was going to be kind of unique this morning, and the uniqueness comes. I'm going to ask that you would turn your paper over. And for those of you who, I already know the complaint. I already know it. See, some of y'all laughing. I already know the complaint. Man, that's so small, Pastor. That's so small. Well, see, you know, as you know, I got this off of the internet, and so I just clicked and copied it, and that's the way it came, Saint. So, you know, you can complain. At the bottom of the page, it says this is from the January 2000 issue of Decisions Magazine. So any complaints, you can write in and complain to them. Go to their website. All right, but the reason I wanted to share this is that these are the resolutions of a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Now, Jonathan Edwards was a reformer, and he was also a staunch Calvinist, which we will forgive him for that. we will forgive him for that. But he was a man of God. He was at 17 years of age, he wrote 70 resolutions in his life. And these are just some of the resolutions that he wrote. 17 years of age. Many people believe that when Daniel was deported into Babylon, he was about 17. So here was Jonathan Edwards, 17 years of age. And he writes 70 resolutions that as far as we know that he kept these resolutions until the day that he died. He died when he was about 50 years old. He had been inoculated, and the vaccine that he received ended up taking his life. So from the time that he was a young man that he made these resolutions, and he tried to keep these resolutions. But and the reason I wanted to point them out, because I just think that there's some powerful things here that as we look at being resolved at the very core of who we are, I think that these things will motivate us and help us to see that here was a man. Once again, this is not even a Bible character, but here was a man, a young man, who makes these resolutions. And by the grace of God, and by the strength of God, and by the power of God, he keeps those resolutions that he made. If you were just in the top paragraph, resolved. He wrote these in 1723. Jonathan Edwards wrote his resolution, 70 in all, while he was on the cusp of finishing the ministerial training and anticipating his first ministry opportunity at a church in New York City, hundreds of miles away from friends and family, a formidable responsibility for a man not yet 20 years old. With the resolutions, Edwards sets a template of sorts to guide him through his life. They reflect the exemplary self-discipline he is known for, and his lifelong passion to bow to the lordship of Christ in all areas of his life. A portion of the resolutions follows below. As we enter into the new year, we would do well to examine our Christian walk and consider how we might, I like this, how we might raise the bar on our own resolve to live deliberately to the glory of God in all areas of our life. See, God is calling some of y'all this morning to raise the bar. You know, you've set the bar too low. You're jumping and you're taking minimal effort to jump over the bar. God is calling some of y'all today to raise the bar a little bit higher. He's calling some young people in here today. Look, raise the bar a little bit higher in your life. Don't be caught up in the swirls of this life and the swirls of this world, but raise the bar a little bit higher for yourself. God has the best plan for you. Oh, I like the track that says God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And the only way that you're going to reach that plan for your life is to raise the bar. There's some adult members here today that God is calling you to raise the bar in your life. You say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Oh, I've tried that before. It didn't work. And God is saying, look, scrap the past and raise the bar a little bit higher for yourself. The fact of the matter is, if you aim at nothing, every time you're going to hit it.
if you're going to hit it every time, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it. We need some folk here that's going to raise the bar. Oh, thank God for every young woman's battle and every young man's battle. Thank God. Came to the church yesterday, parking lot full of cars, building full of people. People trying to do, oh, somebody help me this morning. Somebody help me this morning. Somebody trying to raise the bar in their life. Somebody said, well, look, I don't want to settle with the mediocre standards that the rest of society has set for me to live by. Let me raise the bar a little bit. Oh, praise the Lord. I was talking to Deacon Corbin a little bit earlier. He told me that they got, what, Brother Van, 14 men to work with every young man's battle. Amen. 14 men. Here, praise God for some brothers that want to, what, raise the bar. Say, look, we're tired of seeing folk live any kind of way. We want to help them to be able to raise the bar. And so God is calling for folk today, the second Sunday of the new year. God is saying, why don't you raise the bar in your life? Man, don't set the standards low. You know, if I preached a message one time, are you soaring with the eagles or walking with the turkeys? You need to elevate the bar. If you're out there hanging with some turkeys, then you need to raise the bar. Oh, just raise the bar a little bit. Maybe you might be halfway between an eagle and a turkey. Just raise the bar. Just raise it a little bit. Just don't hang out with the turkeys. Raise that bar a little bit. And see, this is what Jonathan Edwards did. You know, as a young man of 17 years old, he raised the bar in his life. And look what it says here. Being aware that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will and for Christ's sake. I frequently hear persons in old age say how they would have lived if they were to live their lives over again. You know, that's what, man, don't be an individual to say, well, if I had my life to live all over again, this is what I'd do. I was watching this guy on TV. His name was Tony Robbins, and he's a motivational speaker. And he was doing this video that he was trying to sell, and I was watching. And one of the things he said, he has a rocking chair philosophy. And I said, well, what in the world is he talking about, rocking chair philosophy? And he went on to explain what that meant. He said that I've got it and directed my life in such a way that when I'm old and sitting in my rocking chair and can't do anything else, I want to be able to look back over my life and not have any regrets and say, I wish I would have did this or I wish I would have did that. You know, that's what we need. We need to adopt the rocking chair philosophy, that when we get to the point where we can't do anything else, that when we look back over our life, that right now you can't go back and change things that have happened in the past, but you can by sure take control of the things that are going to happen from here on. And you can say, look, that there might have been some mistakes I've made in the past. There might have been some things I've done wrong, but I'm making resolutions in my heart today that I'm going to do what it takes to please God. I'm going to live in such a way that when I'm in my rocking chair and I can't do anything else, that I'm going to look back over my life and I'm going to say, while I had my health and while I had my strength, I did everything that I could do to the glory of God. That's what Jonathan Edwards is talking about here. That's what he's talking about. They sang my song. They sang my song this morning. We're going to get to Daniel at some point. I don't know when, but we're going to get to Daniel at some point. But they sang my song this morning. I preached at Rodman Street this summer, and the choir came, and they sang that song down there, and they gave me a CD of the service, and that song was on there. And I tell you what, that song blessed my heart, man. Faithful. Faithful. Man, if you are faithful over a few things, God will make you ruler over many things. And then you know what? And then they said, he'll give you a crown of life. You know, if you got a song to sing, faithfully sing that song. If you got a kind word to say, say it each and every day. You know, be faithful. And when you resolve in your heart that this is what I'm supposed to do, then you will be faithful to do the things that God has called you to do. Daniel resolved in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. So John Edwards says resolved. And let me just go through these real quick. Indulge me, please, while I go through these. He resolved that I will live just as I think I shall wish I had done, supposing I live to old age. That if you know, supposing that God grants me the opportunity to live well into years, that I'll live according the way that I thought was the best to please God. Resolved to examine carefully and constantly what is the one thing that causes me in the least to doubt the love of God and direct all my forces against it. Wow. Man, is there anything that causes you to doubt God's love for you? Jonathan Edwards said, if there's one thing that causes me to doubt God's love, he said, I'm going to direct all my energy against that because I know that God loves me. Man, what a powerful, powerful thought. No matter how low you can go into the dregs of life, that God loves you. The songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Save am I. The love of God lifted me. I don't know about you, but the love of God can reach you wherever you're at, whatever you've done. God loves you, and you don't need to think anything different. You might not have had parents that love you. You might not have had others in your life that love you, but be assured of one thing and one thing only, that God loves you. It don't make any difference what you did. I was listening to Woodrow Kroll the other night, and he was talking about this guy. I forget what his name was now, but this guy murdered four people. I don't. Y'all might have heard the program the other night on Back to the Bible. It was 10 o'clock. I think it was Thursday or Friday night. Murdered four people. They put him in jail. Put him in jail. And was going. He was on death row. And while he was in jail, he murdered four more people. And this guy was so uncontrollable and so wicked that they actually locked him up in this padded room where no light or anything, and the only thing they would do is have a little slit in there where they could slide his food into him every day. And somebody slipped a Bible in there, and he had a little light in there that he was able to, you know, at first he didn't want to read it. He just kind of pushed it off and didn't think anything about it and just left it. But then he began to read the Bible. And through reading the Bible, he gave his heart to the Lord. And after he gave his heart to the Lord, they saw a change in his life. And they let him back in with the rest of the population in prison. And he began to preach in prison and began to lead many of the inmates to Jesus Christ. And Woodrow Kroll stopped there, and I wanted to hear what the rest of the story was. But I really want to find out. But I was just thinking, man, here he was, murdered four people outside of prison, murdered four people inside of prison. A heinous, devious, nefarious individual, and the love of God found him. It don't make any difference who you are. God's love can find you. And if there's any reason that you have to doubt that God loves you, man, you need to take all the resources within you and direct them against that and realize that God loves you with a love that nobody else can love you with. Resolved not only to refrain from the air of dislike, fretfulness, and anger in conversation, but to exhibit an air of love, cheerfulness, and benignity. Resolved. I like this one right here. See, I wish I could just read these. I got to preach them. Resolve, after affliction,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Christ Likeness, a goal for this year and every year. If you'd like to request an audio copy of today's message, New Year's Resolution, or Life-Changing Resolve, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request New Year's Resolution or Life-Changing Resolve. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.